Come on.
Are you ready?
Welcome to Dave and Mahoney.
The people who have been divorced in the room laugh.
Oh, boy.
You didn't have anything when you got married. That's a prenup.
Yeah. I got a 2013 Toyota Avalon.
Yeah, she's
now.
Coming for that.
All right.
And now, this is Dave and Mahoney.
Well, hello, friends, and thank you for joining us. Got some good news and some bad news to kick things off today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, why don't we start off today's show with some bad news?
Yeah, this is a, boy, talk about a way to go. If you had to choose the way that you were going to go, what would you choose?
Quick heart attack.
Heart attack?
Yeah.
In your sleep or like while doing something fun? Like,
sleep.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you want my answer for real?
Yeah.
Ooh, I mean, I don't even know. I feel like my answer would be I've heard rumors of it being very peaceful if you drown.
If you drown?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Because okay. It's like you're in the womb.
No, yeah. That is the worst possible.
No.
You're still too aware.
Fire is, well,
I hope you're like, your system shuts up. You just go into immediate shock with fire.
So the...
If we're picking like the worst case scenarios way to die.
Well, no, we're picking best case scenarios here.
Oh.
But I found the worst. Here it is in bad news today. A man was taking a leak. On some train tracks in India.
Just got to take a little tinkle sometimes.
Why are you doing that on a train track? Did he get hit by a train?
He did not get hit by a train. That would be kind of a normal thing. He got crushed by a cow.
How?
Did a cow fall off a train?
The cow got hit by the train and it projected the cow. And then it landed on him. And
which is wild because...
I'm sorry to laugh, but damn, man. Wow.
Is it like a cow, like a big thing of worship?
It's a big thing in India, yeah.
So, I mean, maybe I feel like that would be a very good thing then, if you technically.
I mean, I guess if you were peeing on the train tracks and like the equivalent like, here in America would be like if Jesus landed on you.
What they don't tell you is that like you don't hear the train coming.
Yeah, well, this
like,
is.
Why are you peeing on the train tracks to begin with?
Even when it's rolling around the bend, man.
Yeah.
So this was one of the like the semi-high speed trains, so it was going like 80 to 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And so the cow was just like, uh-oh.
Did the cow move?
Merv. Got plowed by the train, and then it flew in the air and landed on this guy, and that was it.
Why so close to the... Why, of all of the area that's around those tracks,
also,
why on the tracks did you feel the need to pee?
If there is a 100-mile-per-hour trains, perhaps, like, don't pee on the train tracks.
Yeah.
Not saying that this guy had it coming, but, you know.
Well, did y'all ever mess around with train tracks when you were kids? Oh, yeah, me.
No. The only train tracks that are okay to mess around with is to, like, abandon train tracks.
You never, Mahoney.
Never.
Put a penny on a train track.
No.
Did you ever hear the stories about, like, how the penny would shoot off and decapitate children?
Yeah, it's like, what in the world? There were so many weird stories that were told to children that are like you could totally derail the entire train by
the
one
whole
penny.
Train's gonna go off the tracks
like no I just want the penny just want to see it flat, man.
But again, you still don't hear the train coming and you probably don't know which from which direction either, so it's like just steer clear.
Some good news today as well. A Michigan man is celebrating because he won $330,000 in the lottery, but not without some drama. So this guy, 49 years old, was on a road trip with his wife when he bought a ticket for the Fantasy Five drawing. The couple were on their way home the next day, and his wife checked the ticket and started screaming because she realized that he had won the jackpot. And Mahoney, I feel like this is a very you-type thing. He said, quote, I started sweating when she told me how much we had won.
Because,
again, it was $330,000.
Wow, baby, I can't believe that we won this ticket.
He's like, I started sweating, so I rolled down the window.
Oh, no.
And the ticket started flying out the window. Luckily, the wife was able to grab it and put it into a safe spot. But she's like, we won, and set it down. He rolls down the window, and it starts flying out the window. Thankfully, she grabbed it at the last second.
See, I thought you were going to say that this would be a Mahoney move for him to just talk about, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I won. Just kidding. I think it's one number off. And then because Mahoney has a prenup, he would never tell his wife that he actually won.
No, I mean, I can tell her we won because I have a prenup.
Dave and Mahoney. You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Mahoney, the thing that I can't believe is that you held up the line while you went out to your car to get change because your credit card got declined.
I was at a Harbor Freight, you know, which they have very reasonably priced tools. And in my new house, I don't have any of my tools. I needed a screwdriver, just one simple Phillips screwdriver.
The low price of $3, and it was too much for your credit cards to handle.
So I put my first card in. I go with my debit card. And I think I pull it out a little too quick. Because okay. sometimes, you know, you never know if like, you put in the number that says take it out. Or I think I was just, you know, kind of on autopilot, not really thinking because there's several contractors behind me.
Yeah. Mahoney, you got to know whenever to, like, pull it out, though. Like, well, there is a science behind the pull out.
But, you know, I'm trying, Audrey. I'm learning.
Not too early, not too late.
It's going to be just right.
Right on
time. So it doesn't work. And I'm just like, I wonder what's going on. Maybe it's just, maybe something's weird with this machine. And then the lady who's checking me out goes, oh, do you have one of those tap cards?
Mm-hmm.
And my debit card does not have one of those because it's old. But I've got a Platinum American Express. And I go to, I'm like, oh, I do. And then she actually comments, oh, she's like, ooh, the Platinum.
Ooh.
Which I'm like, you know, I think she's making fun of me because it's a $3 purchase. But I'm still like, okay. So I go, boop, does the little tap.
Doesn't work.
And that one also gets declined. She makes me, she doesn't make me, but she's like, I'm like, I know I have cash in my car. I can go get it. And by the cash in my car, I mean quarters.
Mm-hmm.
So I have $3 in quarters that I go and I scrounge out of there. But she holds up the line while I'm doing this.
How embarrassing.
And so, like, I never felt like a bigger...
Yeah, man, because what? Did you ever figure out why this was even happening?
They worked yesterday. They've worked since.
So you think it was their machine?
I think it...
Yeah, it was their fault. Yeah,
for sure.
So here's one for you from Pam on Facebook. She said, this one is even more embarrassing and ages the crap out of me. I wrote a check for a pack of Camel Lights in 1995 $1 at a 7-Eleven, and the check did not clear.
Oh, my gosh. Holy moly.
You could write checks at 7-Eleven back in the day?
You could write a check for anywhere USA, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
When checks were a thing. That's why, I mean, I had a lady. So I used to work in retail in college, and there was a lady who was, this is whenever we still had the check machine, and she would change the numbers on the checks, and like we couldn't do anything about it because I had to enter it in. Like, that's way above my pay grade. Like, right. I'm making $8 an hour here, lady. Like, I'll enter in whatever numbers you have on this check. But she would do that because they wouldn't immediately go bad. Like, whatever number you're putting in there wouldn't immediately bounce back. You would just like have to do the swipe machine and put it in, and then she'd get out as many fossil watches as she wanted.
Yeah, I remember my dad used to write checks.
The grocery store?
No, like McDonald's.
What?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Wild.
I don't remember. The only time I could ever remember my parents writing a check was at the grocery store or occasionally for a pizza.
A pizza.
Like
absolutely.
Domino's would on a Friday night. Yep.
Pam followed up, said she used to be able to buy a carton of those smokes and fill up her Subaru Royale for $20.
Oh, my God.
This is Dave and Mahoney. Do you still leave voicemails?
Hello?
Then this segment is for you.
Call anytime at 833-YO-DUMMY
and leave a...
Leave a message.
This is the voicemail.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey guys, just curious, when you need a mood boost, what is your go-to movie? For me, it's definitely any variation of a Peter Pan movie. Disney, Hook, all of them are amazing.
Message deleted.
Love, love, love Hook. Definitely one of those movies that's very nostalgic for me. And what I love about not just Hook, but a lot of the Disney movies is that it really does, it feels like a real mood boost for me when my kids are watching a movie and are really into it that I used to love when I was a kid.
Are they into Pan yet?
Yeah. So like Hook. Hook, for example, is one that they're really into. Mm-hmm. And I love that. But even like when they watch, you know, the older Disney movies, The Lion King and Little Mermaid and Aladdin, the original one, stuff like that. Like, that's special to me because I used to love those when I was coming up. Harry Potter for you, right?
Yeah, but that's just more of like because John Williams is the best composer and has created
some of
the most beautiful...
Did John Williams do Harry Potter also?
Yeah.
Dude, John Williams is
beautiful
iconic.
Scores. Yeah, I mean, he has done Star Wars, the Star Wars universe, I believe.
Superman.
Indiana Jones as well. Star Trek.
Home Alone.
Home Alone, yeah.
The soundtrack from Home Alone for Christmas time
is peak.
Maybe the best.
He has kind of... composed our life, like our favorite things
pop culture.
In a life.
He is the sound of pop culture.
Yes.
Over the last 50 years.
If you think about how iconic the sounds are from those films that John Williams created, it really is such a game changer. Like, I was at Disneyland over spring break with the kids. And, you know, they have the, what's it called, the World of Lights or whatever it is.
World of Color.
And, like, when the Star Wars theme comes on, the crowd just has, like, an audible gasp because it's so powerful. And you realize it has nothing to do with the picture itself. It's all about the audio of it, you know? And John Williams is just iconic.
I mean, and if you think about that, too, you look at how companies are branding now. Intel was kind of the first one that I remember doing it big, that, like, Intel Inside. But now every single streaming service has that, like, Doom for Netflix. Yeah. Or you know what those are. So, like, audio branding is another really, like, important thing for a lot of, you know, just for instantly recognizing something. And speaking of John Williams, the movie for me is Home Alone. My wife and I, like, always, you know, it's watching it as an adult versus watching it as a child, two completely different things. That was one of those movies I remember going to Blockbuster. And we didn't buy the new one, but we knew we had to have Home Alone. And they had, like, 1 week after it came out, we got a previously viewed copy for, I think, 1999.
Do you remember
watched that 100 times.
Of going to Blockbuster back in the day when you were trying to get a movie that was like a new release that was hot, and they were all gone, and you'd go up to the counter and ask if there was any that were available that had been returned? I don't even care if they rewound it yet. Like, yeah. I'll take care of that myself.
I've got a separate video recorder in the shape of a Ferrari.
You had one of those too. Hell yeah.
So cool. Just real quick, Dave. So I just looked it up. If you're back to being just kind of like an audio nerd, Mahoney, I didn't know if you were going to say this because it sounded like it. John Williams also did E.T.
He did?
Dude, I mean, like,
dude, John Williams.
If you want to just totally nerd out, because most people who are probably listening right now, you enjoy music. If you want to nerd out to John Williams, again, just look at his catalog and everything he has composed. You're going to go, oh my God, no wonder that movie was such a hit. I mean, not because of lack of directing and writing. Obviously, those things matter.
Yeah.
But to create an ambiance and a sound and a movement and a feel for whatever. Feelings, man.
It creates feelings.
John Williams is it.
Hey guys, so I may be the outlier here, but whenever I'm getting tailgated, I just drive faster. If they do it more, then I'll move over, but usually I just speed up.
Message deleted.
I don't hate that. I do that too. I was getting tailgated on the way in, and I was already going, like, you know, 85, 90 in the, you know, in the HOV lane.
I've got limits, man. Like, if you're tailgating me when I'm going 90.
But I get over, though.
Yes, if you have the ability to get over, sure.
Depends on how busy the street is.
Don't come racing up on me and start tailgating me close if I'm already aggressively breaking the law.
I hear you. But, I mean, for me, I think it's safer. You know, that's what I do. It's like, if I'm feeling like, you know, I want to get into less confrontations on the freeway or the highway these days. Too many people getting crazy.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'd rather just speed up if I can get around. If the highway is busy,
I'll brake check you. Don't tailgate me.
But sometimes there's too many cars around for that.
Please leave a message after the tone.
If you had to describe the state of Ohio in one word, what would it be? And don't say Ohio. Be real here, guys.
Message deleted.
Have I even been to Ohio? I don't know if I've ever.
You've never been to Cincinnati or Cleveland?
I was born in Cleveland, and I lived in Lexington, Kentucky, for college.
Which is pretty close to
Ohio. It's an hour and a half to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
They're neighbors. I mean, a lot of people, there's a lot of commutes. People will live in Lexington and commute up for work to Cincinnati, but they call it Cincinnati.
Yeah, I spent a decent amount of time in Cincinnati over the years, and
it's fine.
It's fine.
I feel like I don't understand why people have a thing, because there was like the Florida or Ohio, which one's trashier thing. You hear a lot of people talking about that, but like, I don't get that. I love Florida, and
there's great parts of everywhere.
Yeah. I mean,
trashy parts everywhere. It's not just every state, it's every city.
Yeah.
I feel like every people forget that West Virginia exists.
And there's beautiful parts of West Virginia. Was it the Greenbrier?
Yeah. I mean, if you eliminated the people, like, West Virginia is great.
Dave and Mahoney.
So Audrey was running through the list of the movies that John Williams has composed, and Darcy is on the phone with us this morning. Are you also moved by John Williams?
Oh my God, yeah.
So I had no idea that he has done so much. So Audrey was running down the list of movies, and tell me, Darcy, like, just let's go through this list and tell me if you knew that John Williams was responsible for the soundtrack.
Okay, so whenever I was looking at this list, Jaws is on there.
I mean,
iconic.
To think that, I mean, you hear that, and that is.
Ooh, chills, dude.
That, you hear that in your brain when you're anytime you get in the ocean.
Absolutely, you do. Yes,
that is in your psyche.
Uh huh.
I mean, and then just the obvious, you know, what we were talking about earlier, the Indiana Jones, the Jurassic Parks.
Jurassic Park.
All of them.
Think about that.
Like, not just like a Jurassic Park, right? Or like an Indiana Jones, or just a Harry Potter, or a Star Wars. Like, he has created and cultivated these sounds, like you said earlier, Dave, of pop culture.
That's unreal.
Massive, monumental. I mean, like, just racking in, printing money. He's 91.
91. Protect that, man.
But also, Dave, you didn't know this, one of your favorite movies that you were talking about as well, he did is from Hook.
Hook, yeah. And that had an amazing soundtrack. I had no idea that John Williams did that.
Yeah, dude. Wow. He is the GOAT of music.
Yeah, I watched an interview recently that he did with Steven Spielberg. And if you can Google it and watch the way they played off each other and talked about each other and how long they've been working together and all the movies they've done, it's an amazing interview.
I'll have to look that up because you think about Steven Spielberg, who's obviously an iconic filmmaker, but then what you bring in somebody like John Williams.
Iconic.
And he just makes your product so much better.
Right. Because without sound, you have no emotion tied to your film.
Right. It's just it's just quiet.
Steven Spielberg was like in awe of John Williams.
As well he should be.
Yeah. Like,
as well he should be.
You are Steven Spielberg.
I mean, there's not one without the other at this point.
No. But I mean, there's not another John Williams. Like, there's lots of good directors out there. There's only one John Williams.
Right. I mean, I feel like the only other person that you could kind of bring into the conversation, and I am not going to look up his name because he is not John Williams, but the composer for like Lord of the Rings or something. You know what I mean? Like somebody who is kind of created that sound for another fantasy style world, but nobody who has the catalog.
But when
John.
I think about Lord of the Rings, like I don't hear that in my head.
Right.
Like, when I think about Indiana Jones.
Hans Zimmer.
Von Zimmer, is that his name?
Hans Zimmer.
Hans Zimmer?
Hans Zimmer.
Oh, okay, Hans Zimmer. I don't think about the sound of Lord of the Rings. I think about the sound for Superman and for Indiana Jones and Jaws, you know, that sound we just played. It's just, yeah, it's unreal. Darcy, thanks for the call today. We appreciate you.
All right, well, I'm listening. You guys are doing a great job.
This is Dave and Mahoney. When your lifetime goal is to own a partial interest in a fireworks stand, it's the Redneck Report.
Dog Will Hunt.
On Dave and Mahoney.
So all of us have been through breakups before, and some breakups more difficult than others. This one, though, boy, if you've ever been through a bad breakup, at least it wasn't quite like this. A series of crimes began just before 3 a.m. in Miami when a 27-year-old went to her ex-boyfriend's house, entered his yard, and then dragged a pressure washer to her blue Mazda, which was parked down the street. So she started off by stealing his pressure washer. Okay. The ex and another victim were outside checking to see if there was any damage to their vehicles. And that's when a vehicle speeding down the street abruptly turned into their driveway, and it was the ex. So she steals the pressure washer, and then she gets in her car, and she starts driving directly at them, trying to run them over.
Dude, if you steal my pressure washer, that's like stealing a baby.
Then, after trying to run them over and not hitting them, she pulled out a gun and started firing at them.
Ooh.
She then reversed her car, purposely crashing it into his gray Toyota Corolla before driving off.
You stole the pressure washer and you destroyed my Corolla?
And shot at you and tried to run you over.
In this life?
Yeah.
I feel like a Corolla could get destroyed by a pressure washer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, you don't wash your car with a pressure washer, I don't think, right?
Well, no, of course not. But I'm just trying to say, I feel like a Corolla is not like built for, you know, it's not built for it to.
Oh, no. I've been in. I had a friend who had a Corolla, and that thing was like, I mean,
you could put some miles on her, but.
You put 400,000 miles on a Corolla.
You facts.
She thought that she was going to get away with it by lighting her car on fire. So that was the next
destroying
step.
Destroying the evidence.
After all of this, she thought, I'm going to light my Mazda on fire, which she did. But unfortunately, there was surveillance video of her driving her Mazda before she lit it on fire. And also, they pinged her cell phone and they're like, yeah, that was definitely you in that area. So
I wanted an ounce of confidence that anybody who thinks they're going to get away with a crime has. Like anybody who thinks they're going to be able to put their car, set it on fire, and then get away with it. I want your confidence.
I like that step number one was steel pressure washer. Step number two was murder. It's just an interesting progression there.
Yeah, just
you know what you need to do? You need to just like go find a really dirty like walkway, take that pressure washer, and just
it's so cathartic. It really is.
I mean, literally, it'll wash away all that anger. Like there's like all I do.
I know what you mean.
You know how many pressure washing videos do you watch on the internet?
All day, every day.
Is there anything more calming?
Nope. And I have a lot of anxiety to get rid of, so I watch them a lot.
You're missing out, Dave.
Finally, there was a man who got into a squabble with a horny alligator, and it did not end well for him.
Do alligators get randy?
I didn't know this. This is actually alligator mating season, so it's from April until about late June.
Spring. Spring has sprung.
Yeah, and I guess alligators don't necessarily always get more aggressive, but they do get more territorial. I didn't know this until I saw this story, and they spelled out that horny alligator season is a thing.
So we need to watch out?
Yeah, well, there was a...
like an alligator? So if you've been out in the sun a little too long?
There was an unidentified male that was attacked by an alligator at the Great Outdoors RV and Golf Resort in Titusville. The alligator attacked the man, and he lost a leg. He's okay, kind of, but he lost a leg.
Oh, one-legged... what's his name?
Jim. Oh, one-legged Jim.
Oh, poor guy.
Good story to tell at cocktail parties.
What happened to your leg? Well, a horny alligator.
This is the Dave and Mahoney
this
Show.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
The strangest, dumbest, and funniest audio from the depths of the World Wide Web.
This is the Internet is Undefeated on Dave and Mahoney.
It is the gift that keeps on giving, Mahoney. The Internet every single week delivers us amazing audio.
Dave, without the internet, we would not know about all the amazing, weird, and funny things in the world. And every week, without fail, it continues to amaze us.
So there is a feature that we do on the show every week called Tipsy or Toddler, where we just read things that were said by somebody and people have to figure out if it was a very drunk person or a little kid. And it can be challenging. Like if I told you, Mahoney, that there was somebody that was struggling to put their pants on, you'd think that's probably a toddler, right?
Probably.
And you would be wrong.
Put your pants up.
I'm trying really hard, and it's really hard to get them over my butt.
Hold on.
So my rest are like, on my window.
Good Spanish.
Thank you.
I like that there's a whole group of people that are sitting there laughing at this girl who has her pants down for some reason.
It's
put your pants up.
I'm trying really hard, and it's really hard to get them over my butt.
I don't know what it is about when you are very inebriated that you just lose how to properly tone your voice and the being able to regulate the loudness
as
well.
That is a great observation about her because...
Hold on. So your rest are like, oh, no, no,
no. Good Spanish.
Thank you.
Why did she go...
Put your pants up.
I'm trying really hard.
This is a new clip here. This is a child with a taser, which is always a good idea.
Self-defense. If a man ever tries to get you, just get him right here and go. And they'll be down.
She ain't lying.
Every little Southern kid should have a taser.
Absolutely.
I hope
self-defense. If a man ever tries to get you, just get him right here and go. And
I love a little child with an accent.
If that's not my kid in the future, I don't want it. I don't want it.
So this one is from Fast Food Freakouts, and this was a very, very sassy lady who was screaming at an individual who was working at this fast food restaurant. It was a Subway, actually, and accusing them of not being able to count change. Mm-hmm. And there was a bystander who started recording this, and then she also started lashing out at the person that was recording it.
I can't believe people can't count back change.
Hey, Karen, do you want to stop making fun of people's knowledge on things?
I'm not making fun of people. I don't care if you videotape me.
Okay,
you probably can't count either.
Just relax, Karen. Everything's going to be okay.
My name's not Karen.
Like one.
I don't care if you videotape me. You probably can't count either.
And probably facts, too.
I mean, I do kind of... There are parts of me that side with her. Like, yeah, I wouldn't call anybody out, like, loudly, but I would be thinking those thoughts in my head. Like, really? We can't count? Like, we've gotten to the point where we don't know how to count change.
I know.
We've gotten to that point.
We have. I mean, I think that she's not completely wrong.
Okay, I will stand on this platform all day long. We should abolish change.
What?
No more coins.
But then how will I ever use a laundromat?
When are you using a laundromat?
A lot of places do, Dave.
Okay, if that's the case, a lot of places do?
Yeah, what, like sometimes apartment complexes will have a shared and communal.
No, I get that, but like why can't you just have a payment system that doesn't involve coins?
It's more expensive.
Yeah, to have like the QR codes or the Apple Pay, all of that, you got to pay Apple specifically.
I'm saying if Dave and Buster's can figure it out, I mean, a laundromat
Dave,
should be
Dave, that's a big difference between a local laundromat and Dave and Buster. What a weird company.
Just think of the things that you used to have to put change in. Video games were one of them. Now you
Walmart
don't.
Walmart doesn't even have a system where you can do an Apple Tap.
Sure they do.
No, they do not.
You can't pay with Apple Pay
you
at
cannot.
Walmart? Really?
Or Home Depot. I got
really?
I got
or
messed
Kroger,
up.
Smith's, anywhere that is owned by Kroger. You cannot.
No kidding.
And they, remember, because they also wouldn't let you do Visa either.
Because it's like, they take like, what is it, like 3
like
to 4%?
Something like that.
Yeah, man.
So Mahoney, I feel like this next clip is very reminiscent of you as a man. This is a dad having to deal with a spider, and it doesn't go well.
You get it? All right, I throw it away. Good job.
But where is it?
That's a dad.
So just a couple of quick observations here. First off, that sounds like Marv from Home Alone when they put the tarantula on
sure
him.
Sure does.
But just to give you the visual of what's going on here. So he has picked up his toddler, and the toddler has the paper towel and is trying to grab the spider for the dad. So he is lifting the toddler up to go get the spider from the high point on the ceiling, and then the toddler drops it, and that's when the dad starts screaming and freaking out, but also bulldozes his toddler during the process, knocks the kid over and leaves it there to be eaten alive by the spider, which it did.
You get it? All right, I throw it away. Good job.
But where is it?
One of those noises that you're hearing is the kid face planting on the ground.
Yes.
and that's how that kid ends up with lots of therapy bills later in life.
And the final one today from the internet is undefeated is this cover from Cover Your Ears. It is a beautiful rendition of Piano Man by Billy Joel.
A piano, it sounds like a carnival. Oof. And the microphone smells like a beer. They sit at my bar.
Is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Why is it that pets have all of the luck? I mean, obviously pets can live a pretty charmed life, right? Where they basically just wake up, they love on you a little bit, then they eat,
yeah,
and
man,
they nap
they
all day.
Yeah, man, they don't have bills, they don't have taxes, they don't have rent to pay.
Yeah, think about that. Dogs don't even know what the government is. How cool is that?
If I believed in reincarnation, I want to come back as like a single middle-class person's dog.
I've actually found what you were going to come back as, Mahoney. It is up for adoption right now in Virginia.
What's
it
that?
It is a literal fat cat.
Like a Garfield? Fan of lasagna?
Much, much fatter. This cat weighs 40.3 pounds.
Dang, that's a
is
big
it a cougar? No, it's like,
is that a tiger?
The average
cub?
Domestic cat weighs about 10 pounds, and this cat is just...
Quit body shaming him, Dave.
I'm not body shaming. That's what I mean. When I say pets have all of the luck, like for humans to be obese and fat, like the only upside there is maybe you'll get a show on TLC. Otherwise, everyone looks down on you. But a fat cat or a fat dog, you're just like, oh, you're so cute.
The
fatter,
the chubbier. Same with babies, man. If you got a string bean of a baby.
Dude, I was a string bean baby.
I
was.
Yeah, nobody liked you.
Nobody liked me.
Yeah,
nobody liked me. Everybody loves a fat baby. You got those little jelly rolls. You got them folds and a baby leg.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I just want to nibble on it.
Then
as you get older, like, no one's like rubbing your belly talking about how cute it is when
nobody
you just got
thinks
a beer gut.
Yeah. Nobody likes the folds in my legs.
They stink.
There's a bologna sandwich in there, man. It's weird.
Ow.
This is Dave and Mahoney. Do you still leave voicemails?
Hello?
Then this segment is for you.
Call anytime at 833-YO-DUMMY
and leave a
message.
This is the voicemail.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, I was just wondering what are three things you would buy at the grocery store if you wanted the cashier to give you some really weird looks.
Message deleted.
Man, when you guys buy something at the grocery store, do you do what I do where you like try to like hide it amongst other things?
I go to Walgreens or CVS if I would to be buying things that I would be embarrassed about.
Like
because
if you have to buy like lube.
Yeah.
You're like trying to hide it in between the bread
sometimes
and the case
I am,
of water.
I just have dry skin. I suffer from dry skin.
Don't you lie to us.
I have eczema.
You're not buying lube for your dry skin.
Well, not lube, but lotion.
So, but why are you embarrassed of your eczema lotion? Everybody has a little bit of case of the flakes.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, if I'm going to buy a 1 liter bottle, 750 milliliters of
creams.
Lube. Yeah, I'm going to Walgreens.
I don't know, man. I feel like every time I go to the grocery store, there is no sense of embarrassment anywhere to be found. Like, everybody is just really feeling confident in their purchases. Because I remember I had one guy come up to me in the baby aisle because I was a little hungover and needed some Pedialyte. So I was in that aisle. And a guy came up and asked me straight up what kind of cream he needed for a rash.
For his rash, which is a really interesting way to hit on a young lady in a grocery store.
Good looking younger woman. And he had no plan. He just knew that he needed to talk to you.
Hey, rashy. I am rashy.
I am rash.
That's what his in was.
Can you imagine if that worked? If you're just like, I have a rash. And the girl's like, let me take care of you.
Some people might be into the rashes because we are naturally nurturers. Yeah. We want to fix you. Yeah. We want to be able to take care of you.
You are a fixer.
I can help you. But in that instance, you know, just to this caller's point, I feel like if I'm in the grocery store there, I am not embarrassed by whatever it is, because there's really nothing you could really buy from there that would be embarrassing. Now, my Amazon person who's putting all of my odds and ends in one box, like if I've got hot Cheetos, my lady toy, and like a self-help book, somebody might be a little concerned.
No, they're like, she's figured it out. She solved the riddle.
Please leave a message after the tone.
In-N-Out is not fast food. It's sit in the drive-thru or inside for 30 minutes waiting for your food.
Message deleted.
Settle down. You know what you're getting into when you go to In-N-Out. They make it fresh, and it's not like you don't have a phone. You know, when you accept the fact, like when I go to In-N-Out, I go to the drive-thru, and I know I'm going to be in there for 15 minutes at least, but I plan on surfing the web. Like, I'll send emails, I'll check out my phone, whatever. Like, why are you upset now when we have all the entertainment in the world and you're not driving?
Right.
You're moving ahead 5 feet at a time. You have a phone there with you. Stop complaining. You know what you're getting into.
Do you guys ever feel really ashamed when In-N-Out's like, hey, do you want this to go to eat later, or are you going to eat it in your car?
And I've started to lie.
No, I get mine. I used to lie about bagging it. I would always just because I felt ashamed.
Not me. Now, if I'm in the car, I'm like, present it to me. And I will devour this before I leave the parking lot.
What was it? Tom Segura's Netflix special, I think it was Ball Hog, where he talks about that. And after watching that, where you talk about you're just a
degenerate.
Give it to me. So my order's way different than yours. So
you go two double doubles?
I get two double doubles, two fries.
What? Big boy.
I get a soda and a shake.
Dude.
Have you run the calories on that? What is
no.
that?
Yes. Why would I do? Why would I want to know that information?
Because he's like, I'm eating for two. Yeah. And by two, I mean like me now and me in 30 minutes.
My left side and my right side.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Dave Mahoney and producer guy, do you guys wipe sitting down or standing up?
Message deleted.
What the hell
are you talking about? If you wipe standing up, I want to fight you.
I mean, I've done that.
I will fight you too.
The front's different than the back,
But even still.
Are you talking about your butt? You stood up and wiped your butt.
You have never had to do something in a porta potty before? I'm not sitting down and doing nothing. I'm standing up basically the whole entire encounter of my porta potty.
No, I get that if you're like kind of like squatting, but at least you're squatting, right? You can't just like full on stand up because closes the trap door.
I'm not a right angle while I'm in there. I'm standing pretty much.
I'll tell you this. One of my, I think it's a superpower. And, you know, for many years I was grossed out
by
public toilets and like airport bathrooms or porta potties. But now I don't even put the paper down anymore.
Hell no, man.
I raw dog.
What do you mean?
We just go raw.
We raw dog and butt straight up butt like cheek
at the airport, porta potties, whatever, man.
You don't use the paper. Why not?
Not anymore because it sticks. Because my butt sweats.
So sweaty.
Why are you sweating that much in an airport?
It is cramped.
Because I've walked more than 50 meters, and so I'm tired.
You are a disgusting woman, too.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Still leave voicemails?
Hello?
Then this segment is for you.
Call anytime at 833-YO-DUMMY
and leave a
message.
This is the voicemail.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I believe that every instrument has its own wonderwall. That one is for the guitar. The piano has Twinkle Twinkle Little Star or Still Dre. What are some other ones?
Message deleted.
How high were you when you thought of that?
Like, I would know off the top of my head. I can't think of, or maybe like Smoke in the Water for the guitar would be my first
Blue
thought.
Oyster Cult for the cowbell.
The cowbell for sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
No, cowbell has never been more of a star than there. Or like on farms.
Trumpet any Louis Armstrong.
That's pretty blanketed, Dave.
Yep.
I used to play the trumpet back in the day.
I know.
And I have actually been thinking about bringing it back.
You have not. Please tell me.
I need a hobby.
In your, you do not need to pick up the trumpet again. You live in an apartment. Can you imagine your neighbors listening to
you? Exactly. Remember during the pandemic when everybody was sitting out on their porches and serenading and playing beautiful tunes?
Celebrating our hospital workers. Yes.
That was really great for like the talented people that were doing that.
How do you
know? But all of the awful people that were doing that were just really annoying.
It could be like riding a bike.
No. We all need to just look into our webcams and sing Imagine and everything will be fine.
See, cringe at 1,000%.
Yeah, that sucks. I love Gal Gadot, whatever her name is, Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
You know, she's a phenomenal actress and one of the most beautiful people on the planet, but that is just now what you're associated with. There was 1,000 other people in that video, too, but she's just the one.
Yep.
Now, Aaron Paul for me. I'm like, oh, okay, Jesse Pinkman, settle down.
Calm down, you meth head.
Please leave a message after the tone.
If each of you were giving $1,000 as a gift, but had to spend it on one person on the show, who would it be and what would you get them?
Message
so
deleted.
Fun fact about the show, we don't give gifts to each other. We've had
never,
a rule.
It is not stupid.
Over 14 years, we do not give gifts because we've got enough people in our lives who are hard to shop for.
Okay, Mahoney, this feels like something that you have actually brought as a rule to the show because you don't even buy your wife gifts. You don't buy your mom gifts.
I'm with you. I've also, I think, talked my wife out of receiving gifts for...
Yeah,
you have four children.
Exactly.
Dave.
The kids get gifts. The wife doesn't need gifts on the holiday.
I'm a kid. I deserve gifts.
You are 31, lady.
I'm baby. Just... I don't know, man. I feel like I would give you guys gifts, too.
We don't want gifts.
Because then we have to put thought into it. Because nobody wants to, like,
yes,
just exchange like debit cards or whatever the cards to restaurants forever.
Like, I spend hours every single day with you guys. And if you asked me right now what I would get you, like this caller did, which I don't appreciate the voicemail, you son of a gun. What I would get you guys, I have no idea.
The only thing I would get you is something you would already get yourself. Justin Cab.
Sure.
You wine. Know, some cab.
A case of wine.
Yeah.
Thanks.
But you've already I know you
it.
Already have it.
Got it.
Yeah. Yep. And you would get me cigars.
So, yes.
And I already have them.
Let me give you guys a little helpful tip whenever you're attempting to get gifts, not for me, but maybe if you want to in the future, gifts for your wife or for your parents. Whenever you hear them discussing something that they're currently passionate about. Like the other day, for example, our boss was talking about how he's got a thing for Hot Wheels and he has been going around looking for this specific Hot Wheel. So then in turn, I think in my head, if I can find this Hot Wheel for him, then that would be
you're not
a
gonna
cool.
Find it. He said
but
that
he's a pro. Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
He said he's been to 12 Targets.
Okay, but that's just an example. You're already creating a way out of the gift giving.
But you're gonna get the wrong one. You're gonna get the wrong one.
Your way out of it.
No, because it's gonna be the wrong one. Okay. I know it's gonna be the wrong one.
It's the thought, Mahoney. You've gifted me something before. Our producer, our new producer, Chris, just got us an awesome, thoughtful, cute, quirky gift for our anniversary the other day. You can see it at David Mahoney on our socials. That was cool.
But
like,
Audrey, there is like a moment in this, like I'm like, I think I like there's a moment. Like if I see something, I go, okay, that is. But like for your birthday, I'm not thinking of something for birthday or Christmas or, you know, these prearranged holidays that we're
Valentine's Day, you're supposed
to give gifts. And for me, like I know I'm in a minority here in my relationship that my wife and I, we don't get each other gifts because we keep all of our finances separate and we buy whatever we want anyway because we have impulse control. So it's like shopping for each other is damn near impossible because if I want it, I buy it. And if it's something I haven't bought, it's because I can't afford it. And that's way out of the realm of asking somebody else to buy that for you.
Y'all are just, well, I mean, Mahoney, but you do gift your wife things throughout the year.
Sure.
Dave, you do that as well. It's just funny to hear you guys complain about having to do it.
My wife gets absolutely everything that she wants all of the time, except for on holidays and birthdays.
Well, it's because she
nobody
buys
tells us what to
herself.
Do.
That's right.
Holidays,
yes.
Birthdays. We don't listen to you.
Cool.
So
So the designers of intelligent bidets have to spend hundreds of hours building butthole tracking technology.
Message deleted.
So it is, if you've ever used a bidet, it is stunning how accurate it is.
It's too much for,
It's too much for you?
No such thing.
Well, okay, but there is. So my boyfriend has a bidet, and there is all kinds of buttons, all kinds of things. And for a really long time, I don't feel like I was sitting on a toilet right. So there's, you know, whenever you're sitting down, I guess I was sitting a little too forward and not all the way back, which made me believe maybe he's got a high butt. You know what I mean? Because everybody's crack is a little bit different on their backs.
Did you confirm that your boyfriend's b-hole is at the base of his spine?
It does sit high.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
So we were talking about, not that long ago, the story about Afro Man and how there was a couple of police officers that were suing Afro Man because they had a warrant for his house claiming that there was kidnapping and all this other stuff going on there. They were running drugs out of his house. They had a warrant. They went into his house. They actually stole a bunch of stuff from his house. The cops did.
Oh, yeah.
And it was all caught on video. And then he used that video in one of his music videos. But now Afro Man is back in the news because that was kind of a dust up a few weeks ago that we were talking about all that. Afro Man is back in the news because he has announced that he is running for president.
Oh, no.
Can we just not?
I know. Don't you feel like all of that was a publicity stunt now?
No, I don't. But it's just...
I feel like this is a publicity stunt.
This is just stupid. I mean, Shut up, Afro Man.
Yeah, he actually filed the paperwork with the Federal Elections Commission required to run for the nation's highest office in the 2024 election. But he said that he's running as an independent, which, as we know, always works out great.
I'm sure this is going to be a substantial, well-thought-out campaign over the next 2 years. And, you know, come November of, what is it, 2025? Or November 2024, I guess? You know, I'm sure we'll see his name on the ballot next to those who we're expecting.
You know, I would say that if you're a celebrity and you're already famous, I mean, I don't think that Afro Man is necessarily rich and famous. I think that people know who Afro Man is because of his kind of one-hit wonder some. But if you're like a celebrity like Matthew McConaughey, I can't fathom the idea of trying to get into politics.
Well, I just can't even really fathom anybody who is a celebrity wanting to become president. Not for the reasons that you're probably thinking, but because... you're already so removed. You're a celebrity. Like, I know you're Trump attempting to be for the people, but you're still so removed, you just don't get it. So, like, you adding president-elect underneath your belt is just annoying.
Maybe it's just me, but I have no desire at all to be in charge of everyone else's life.
No, it's just, just want it.
Like, stuff is complicated enough.
Actual public servant, please. Like, one time, somebody who's not just getting paid by lobbyists. Like, can you just please want to do well for the people of the United States? Time. One freaking time.
I mean, I think I just, you know, why would you want all that stress?
Right?
Like, if you're rich already, like, that's all I want to do. All I want to do is one day be not even like... like a billionaire. I just want to have enough money that I don't have to work.
Yeah, just be rich and anonymous.
Yeah,
like doesn't that sound wonderful?
You know what? I actually take back everything I just said. Guy Fieri actually has it right. He's the mayor of Flavortown, and I feel like that's about the best type of mayor or, you know, elected personnel.
That's where we should go. You could really affect change in your neighborhood, one hamburger and one trash can nachos at a time.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Because there's really no point in pretending to be... hold on, what? Because there's really no point in pretending to be good at... to be good at this? Oh, okay, let me pick it up from here. It's an all-new blooper reel on the Dave and Mahoney Show.
So yeah, we screw up a lot, and it was really encouraging to hear when we came into the studio and we were talking with our producer, Jordan. He said, hey, Dave, you were awful this week.
It's a new week, Dave.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, sometimes you decide to shine. And last week I shine. Some weeks Audrey shines. But one of the things we don't like to do on this show is talk about how phenomenal we are, what great broadcasters we are.
Because we're not.
No, we like to point out our flaws.
We're just like you.
To peel the curtain back.
We're all the same, man.
We're all garbage.
We're all showing up to work and just like hoping.
Just like, let's see if I can make it through today. As well as an expert marksman. So he wasn't looking for a hitman. He was applying to be a hitman. Looking for a hitman. Mostly just work and then try to keep all of my kids alive. Is that a hobby?
I mean, that's pretty close to a lobby.
You're
a lobby? A Hobby Lobby?
A Hobby Lobby. Close to a lobby. To a lobby.
I mean, if you were stranded on a desert island somewhere, and all you had was your little volleyball. If you were stranded on a desert island.
You're rebooting 2 Tom Cruise movies ever because I'm just not a fan, man. I can't jump on the cruise train. Jump on the cruise train. The cruise train.
How low this thing is flying. It's kind of hot dogging a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And this plane turns directly towards us and is coming right at our boat. Turns directly towards us. Turns.
Yeah, I mean, my flaws are pretty. I'm lazy. I'm unmotivated most times. You know, like sloth. I'm unmotivated. Unmotivated. Sloth.
So access to the complex was briefly restricted while officers conducted the reunion of him and his parents. Access to the conducted the reunion.
Yeah, I mean, my flaws are pretty. I'm lazy. I'm unmotivated most times. I'm lazy, you know, like sloth lazy.
If you're stranded on desert island, try to keep all of my kids alive. Is that a hobby?
I mean, that's pretty close to a lobby. Close to a lobby.
As well as stating that he was an expert marksman, so he wasn't looking for a hits, man.
Man, I can't jump on the cruise train. The cruise train.
And this plane turns.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
So it's not very often in 2023 that we hear a story about like a modern day heist that has happened because there's just so much surveillance that goes on now. It's not like the good old days, Mahoney, where you could just duck underneath the sensors in a museum and steal the $14 million okay. painting.
You know what I want to say with deepfakes? Remember that movie Entrapment with Catherine Zeta-Jones?
Yes.
But instead of, well,
yes,
but
yes,
I would like to see that scene, but with Sean Connery doing those bends instead those moves, of her.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, Sean Connery.
There we go.
Lost him too soon. But this is a real modern day heist to the tune of $15 million U.S. dollars.
How did somebody steal $15 million, Dave?
And it happened in Canada. And Canada is supposed to be so nice. But there's millions of dollars worth of gold, which you'd think would be pretty hard to steal. They were offloaded from an airplane at the Pearson International Airport, which is in Ontario, and they were stored in a secure cargo holding area. And somebody had gotten tipped off that this $15 million, or about $20 million in Canadian bucks, was stored in this facility, and they stole it.
Wow.
I mean, that's, you would think like gold, $15 million worth of gold. Shouldn't we have like Fort Knox level security around that at all times?
Yeah.
Or is it just the price of gold just so ridiculous now it's like one bar?
Yeah, right.
There's not much known about the culprits at this time. There's a list of possibilities, but they say it's really long, including the fact that it could be an inside job or an organized crime hit. Police also do not know if the gold is still in Canada or if it's been taken out of the country. Like, this is, as far as heists go, this is a pretty good one, man.
I blame the geese.
The geese? The Canadian geese.
Yeah. I mean, out of everything that comes out of Canada, they're the only things that are sons of bitches.
That's a, you know what? That's,
yeah.
That's an excellent point. Everything else, so nice.
Great. Yeah. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Those geese? Nah, keep them to yourself, Canada.
If we see a goose rolling around in a Rolls Royce, we're going to know who did it.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Glitz, glamour, and out-of-touch celebrities.
Well, that's redundant.
It's Pop Trash.
I'm Dave and Mahoney.
So for many years, there's been talk that, you know, Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson, who have done some projects together. True Detective was a really good one.
True Detective season one,
yep.
One of the best seasons on television ever.
So Woody Harrelson, because there's been talk about them, you know, having like similar appearances in some ways. Like Matthew McConaughey's obviously, if they were brothers, is the more handsome brother.
Well, but young Woody Harrelson was,
yeah,
you know, Cheers era Woody Harrelson was handsome. At the cowboy way with Kiefer Sutherland, Woody Harrelson, also very handsome.
Well, Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson are now saying that it's possible that they might actually be half brothers.
I mean, they
might actually share a father.
I feel like maybe they're just doing this to spoof the fact that their dads or moms were like players. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really feel like they were actually brothers.
Woody was the one that was echoing the idea that the story is crazy, but adding that there was speculation started when he was chatting with Matt's mother, and she hinted that she potentially had a thing with his dad.
Yes, she said something to the effect of, like, I know your father. Like, as you would assume, a polite way of saying, yeah, I have seen his man parts.
In the biblical way. Woody's father passed away in 2007, but Woody Harrelson is now saying that he is willing to take a DNA test to find out if he is, in fact, half-brothers with Matthew McConaughey.
I mean, are we all kind of related in some way, shape, or form because of Genghis Khan?
Yeah, I think so. Is that still holding true?
I don't know. One of the things, though, I'm like, has there been an actor who's had, like, a more weird life than Woody Harrelson?
Woody Harrelson is just a weird guy.
I mean, the fact that, like, you know, like 4 years ago, we found out he went to college and was friends with, like, Mike Pence in college.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, plus he's this hippie, but he's yet this interesting spiritual person as well, and just phenomenal actor. He's one of those guys who...
But see, Matthew McConaughey is also strikes me as a really kind of weird, interesting...
They are both
eccentric. But I don't find myself wanting to watch every Matthew McConaughey movie. I find myself wanting to see almost every Woody Harrelson movie.
Fair enough. So this is a big story. Charges dropped against Alec Baldwin. Obviously, that's the tragic situation where the videographer was killed on the set, or the cinematographer, rather. You know, that happened back in October of 2021. Just a really just tragic event. But Alec Baldwin, not totally out of the woods yet. His next court appearance in the case is set for May 3rd. But they have they've dropped the big involuntary manslaughter charge against him.
Yeah, I mean, maybe some negligence or something else in there, but trying to prove involuntary manslaughter would have been a high bar to clear.
Yeah.
Unless you had just slam dunk evidence. And it sounds like the DA doesn't.
So the great unverification has begun on Twitter. So Elon Musk is removing the blue check marks from huge celebrities like Beyonce and Lady Gaga and Kim Kardashian. You?
I've lost your verification? I've been unblue check marked.
You know what? Everybody's worried about the wrong check.
What do you mean?
Like, get your actual paycheck offline.
I don't care. My Twitter's private anyway. I don't post on there. It's like the only reason it's still there is because I've had it for 15 years and I don't feel like deleting it for some reason.
Sure. The blue checks that we have, I feel like we have created this weird form of like value and substance online to make sure that people understand like, hey, this is who I say that I am. But honestly, what's more rock and roll than just like not having that? Like
being a huge celebrity and being unverified.
Yeah, I mean, for real though.
There has been some trolling that's gone on. I don't know if you saw that.
Elon Musk, because there's been a couple of celebrities like LeBron James and Stephen King that have been very vocal about not paying for the blue check mark. And Elon Musk kept their blue check mark and said it's because they subscribe to Twitter Blue, even though they didn't.
It's kind of funny.
He's paying for it, isn't he? He has to be actually.
No, they're not paying for it.
No, but Elon Musk is.
Oh, technically.
Yeah. And finally, Al Pacino. This is so weird to me because imagine how much this would have screwed up the movie. Al Pacino said he turned down the role of Han Solo in the original Star Wars.
I can't see him being that role. I mean, the Harrison Ford role is just so iconic in and of itself. Charming, but, you know, you're kind of dastardly in a way. And Pacino was, especially during that era, that was peak Pacino.
That was been terrible. Like, I got a blaster. You know? Suck.
Was he the one who said, say hello to my little friend?
Yeah.
Okay, so then, like, the little friend would be, like, the spaceship?
the Millennium Falcon? Yeah.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
Well,
we have made it to another Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And that means we are drinking because we still have a job.
Yeah, and they allow us to drink at work, which is pretty cool.
I don't know if they do.
They haven't told us not to stop. We asked for forgiveness, not permission.
I saw our engineer.
Mm-hmm.
I said, hey, we don't drink every day on the job, but we do a segment on Fridays where we review craft beer because we have been craft beer lovers for the better part of 2 decades.
That's right. Yep.
Now, and we celebrate good friends, good people, and good beer.
Yeah, if you're new to the show, this show is based on friendship.
Yep.
You know, we Mahoney and I have been friends for 20 years now, and Audrey, you've been a great friend for 5 years now.
I mean, almost.
It's, yeah, it's wild.
Wild.
You know, Chris, our executive producer who's in the other room, we've been friends for, what, 15 years, something like that? I mean, 10, 15 years, long time.
Oh, we're friends?
Oh.
That was news to me.
You got played, Dave.
But we're all great friends, and so being able to crack a beer on a Friday and hang out with each other, that's always a good
time.
Yeah,
a lot of our relationships were built over beer. Audrey and I met over craft beer originally and sure broke did. Down over our love for radio. And that's why we're drinking today. And today on Beer for Breakfast, we are drinking the Deschutes Royal Fresh IPA. It has 9% alcohol by volume.
9%er. All that's, right.
That's about two Bud Lights in a single bottle. It has 70 IBUs and was priced at $11.99 for a six-pack. It originally came to market in 2020. This is a beer that's available year-round. I purchased this one at the Total Wine near my house.
Okay.
And so it should be able to be found if you're looking for it. The five categories in which we rate every single beer here on Beer for Breakfast are look, smell, taste, feel, and drinkability. Let's all take a little cheers, friends. Mm-hmm. Cheers to you.
Cheers to you.
Bink.
So Mahoney, whenever you're doing that, just kind of pull the curtain back a little bit. He is cheersing himself with his phone case that is not protected. It doesn't even sound like a cheers.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a glass in here.
Well, maybe,
if you're going to do Foley. Theater of the mind, like maybe go get a cup.
A glass.
We don't have glass cups.
There's here. Mugs. There's got to be mugs.
We are right plastic. Beside like, the kitchen.
The only glasses we have in our break room that are right behind the studio are like those old school Pizza Hut plastic cups.
Look, you absolute dingling.
Okay.
I found a mug.
There we
right
go.
Right behind me.
Starting off, the look of the Deschutes Royal Fresh IPA. It's a golden yellow body, a little bit amberish hues there with a normal pour. You got about 2.5 fingers of fizzy whitehead. Quite a few remnants in this beer.
There's a lot.
Around.
There's
like,
a lot.
I had it sitting in the windowsill behind me and seeing the sunlight shine through. It was a beautiful thing early in the morning.
Do you call it a windowsill?
Sill.
No, it's a window cell.
No, it's not a window cell.
Window seal.
It's not like a...
It's like a jail. Sill.
No, it's sill.
It's seal.
It's not seal. Like, no, not like Heidi Klum's ex. It's sill. It's a window sill.
I always thought it was seal.
That's not a window seal.
Window cell?
Just stop that.
Okay. Everyone is wrong except for Chris and I.
No, it is a window sill.
There's a lot of floaties.
S-I-L-L.
Okay, this beer. This is the perfect opportunity to look it up.
Moving on to the second category in which we rate every single beer is the smell. Let's take a big whiff of the Deschutes Royal Fresh IPA.
Let me know when I'm proven right, Audrey.
I can't find it. The internet is supposed to be down.
Really? That's funny.
Yeah. My Google's down right now.
It is.
Yeah,
internet's broken.
I mean, it's got a pretty good nose on it, but man, this beer, I mean, it's got a hop on the actual bottle wearing a crown, and you smell the hops when
I
you take a hoof.
You get a lot of, like, a somewhat sweet tropical juicy fruits,
from
slight
the smell?
Aroma of pine,
a
little bit of tinge of alcohol as it starts to warm, but overall, it's not a overwhelming nose. Let's get to our favorite part here on Beer for Breakfast, which is...
Quit do it, dude. Quit cheersing with your phone. You're going to break it.
There we go. Now let's get to the taste. Let's all take a big drink of the Deschutes Royal Fresh IPA.
Wow, that is really...
That's a dad beer. That's what that is. That's been through some stuff, man.
Audrey does not like IPAs.
Dude, this just tastes like a nice coniferous tree. This is a... like as I am taking a big old swig of pine. You know what? I don't necessarily hate it for what it's supposed to be. You're right, though. I'm not a fan of IPAs, so I feel like I'm out of this
Did you call it a coniferous tree?
And in a coniferous tree?
I didn't know that was in your vocabulary.
I don't think
it wasn't in mine.
I don't think that's right.
It doesn't matter. It's hilarious.
Coniferous?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
No, coniferous tree is accurate and also very funny. I'm going to start calling people that. Like, you are a lazy coniferous tree.
Is a pine tree.
Because it's got cones, man.
Right
coniferous.
There.
Did you go to the source for that?
No, dude, I'm smart.
Yeah, you got free vocabulary over there.
What the hell? I'm a big fan of Arbor.
Dave.
Another tree joke.
Dave, you're a big fan of IPAs.
Yeah.
Is this one, you said this one had been through some stuff. You tell me your thoughts on the taste of the Deschutes Royal fresh IPA.
Much like you pointed out earlier, Mahoney, that you don't like things unless they hurt you.
Yeah.
That's how I like my beer. Like, I like it to punch me in the tongue.
Big flavor.
Yeah. And this one does, man. Like, this has got a lot of hops to it. I love IPAs. It's definitely not a beginner IPA for you.
No.
But also, it's got 9% alcohol by volume, so you have three of these things in the backyard while you're grilling. You're feeling good.
1 6 pack's getting you through the weekend.
Absolutely.
If you want to feel pretty good. For me, like you said, Dave, this is a big hoppy beer, and that's no surprise from Deschutes. The brewers of this IPA, the guys at Deschutes, made this a hop salad, and it shows. They actually use 7 different hops in this brew. It starts out actually pretty juicy, and I'm surprised how juicy this beer was for a non-hazy IPA. Like the nose, you get tropical fruits, tangerine, a light hint of lemon, a little bit of pineapple.
There is a little bit. You don't get that lemon in there?
Absolutely. A hint of lemon.
No, yes, the citrus.
Yes.
Go through the bushes
it's
first.
Juicier than I thought it was to be. But Audrey is right. There is a big hop presence in the finish. In the middle, you get a nice caramel, mild caramel sweetness that gives it a little bit of balance, but the finish is just big, piney hops. So if you don't like hops, this is not for you. The mouthfeel, it's medium-bodied, bright, somewhat smooth, but definitely a non-beginner IPA. The drinkability, for me, this is a really solid Imperial IPA coming in at 9% alcohol by volume and only being priced at $11.99 for a 6-pack.
Pour yourself some more.
Your bang for your buck is high. If you like big, hoppy, juicy IPAs that aren't hazy, that don't sit super heavy, I would say this is a beer worth checking out.
What's that, Chris?
I got to disagree with you because I'm like Audrey. I'm not an IPA guy, but this, I mean, you said non-beginner. This is probably the best IPA I have ever had. For somebody who doesn't like them.
You don't like IPAs and you like this
and
one?
I actually like this. That's and I think the afterbite is not that bad. That's usually what I don't like about IPAs.
See, for me, the afterbite like lingers a lot, which I don't mind because
sharp,
I like.
But
you're right. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of muted.
Woody.
Yeah. Woody.
Maybe it has something to do with the breakfast burrito we just
stuffed
down
before. Sure.
Maybe.
Can I get a drum roll, please, Dave?
Absolutely.
On Mahoney's Beer Scale Supremacy, I give thee Deschutes Royal Fresh IPA a 3.9 out of 5.
Dave and Mahoney.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Do you still leave voicemails?
Hello?
Then this segment is for you.
Call anytime at 833-YO-DUMMY and leave a
message.
This is the voicemail.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Yo, Mahoney, you're the CEO of your body, so how about you send a memo to your lungs to tell them to stop putting air in the wrong place because you burp, like, honestly, kind of way too much.
Message deleted.
Have you ever been accused of being too burpy before? It's interesting.
The only time I get really burpy is when I drink a lot of sparkling water.
But you are always drinking a lot of sparkling water.
I mean, but an abnormal amount. Like, if I'm just, like, get done, like, walking or something, and, you know, or it's real, real hot outside, and I, you know, just, like, house one of those real quick, then I get burpy.
We found out an interesting fact about you, Mahoney, Dave and I did, and it was the fact that, you know, most people, whenever they enjoy, like, a sparkling water or whatever, it's just during the day because it feels a little bit normal. But we found out that you keep a sparkling water at your bedside, and if you get thirsty at night, that's your go-to
drink.
You
are so extra. That is ridiculous.
You keep sparkling water by your bedside.
Why does... I mean, it keeps me off of soda. Like, I don't need extra calories in my life.
You used to have a Mountain Dew next to your bed? What are you talking about?
Coke in a can next to my bed.
You had Coke in a can next to your bed? You are unhealthy. You need Jesus.
I was, and that's why my wife got me off of soda by drinking carbonated water. Topo Chico, Mineragua. I'm on a big Mineragua kick.
You can't just have normal water.
I don't drink normal water unless it's like no other option.
God.
I like sparkling water. It if it doesn't hurt, I don't want it, Dave.
Okay. Well, I feel that.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Guys, let's be honest here. We're running out of places to live. We have to start building up because it's getting ridiculous on the ground. The rent is too damn high.
Message deleted.
The only thing that I could hear was that man's annoying voice.
Sorry, man.
I legit had no clue what he said other than, like, stop.
I think it was something about rent's too high on the ground.
Agree, but I don't care anything about what that man just said. Next.
Wow.
Please leave a message after the tone.
What is your biggest non-academic and non-work-related accomplishment?
Message deleted.
Oh, I mean, Mahoney loves, because you left out athletics there. I mean, Mahoney loves to talk about how he played
all-conference volleyball.
All-conference volleyball.
High school.
I love to tell people that I went to college on an athletic scholarship for running.
But I think she was, didn't she say non-athletic, non-work accomplishment?
No, she said non-academic.
Oh, like we have any academic accomplishments.
Your children.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they're fine too.
Follow the Dave and Mahoney Show on social media at Dave and Mahoney.
Because your home phone, cell phone, email, Facebook, Twitter, and home screen all at the same time.
They're everywhere.